Today, we interview Bill Reis. He's an upcoming author, and he's already an old hand at writing games in Silverlight. Today, he shares with us his knowledge and insight in this arena. Have you ever wanted to write a game? Well, Bill tells you the inside information that you need to know. Coming up on the Sparkling Client podcast.
Bill Reis, welcome to the Sparkling Client podcast.
Well, thank you.
So there's this thing that interests me with people who are involved with Silverlight like you are, and that is, I'm always interested in how did you get involved with it? What sort of interests you about it, and what was sort of the hook for you?
Yeah, there was a couple of things. First of all, before I got into Silverlight, I was doing XNA game studio programming and as a hobby in the evenings. One of my main interests there was to find a platform that was a good one to teach people how to program. Mm. So XNA and writing games was kind of an interesting way of doing that because I could avoid some of the really deep type of things that you need to get into right away when you're beginning programming with Windows forms or whatever, where you have to worry about event handling and all that kind of stuff. And then I created a series of tutorials that, you know, using XNA to learn C#. And then I thought, when I saw Silverlight, this is a perfect platform for developing some casual games and also to continue doing some game-based tutorials.
Right.
So that's really the main thing that was getting me into it. Also, at the time, my employer was working on a Flash-based application, and so I wanted to really try to avoid to learn ActionScript at the time, so I thought I'd take a look at this and see if it was a good fit for what we needed.
Interesting. And so I'm wondering if you can compare and contrast a little bit the programming experience for smallish games on XNA versus Silverlight.
Yeah, I mean, the interesting thing is since XNA is C# based, that a lot of the same concepts apply, and actually a lot of the tutorials that I do on my blog for Silverlight game development is applying some of those same concepts that the XNA team did in the XNA framework for game development and just moving it over and making that work for Silverlight. And one of the big benefits I see is that, first of all, it's compiled code. So if you're running a lot of calculations for collisions and that sort of thing, it's going to run a lot better in Silverlight than it would in, you know, other browser-based technologies. So.
Yeah, that was an interesting point that I just learned, and that is that other browser technology, well, to call one out, Flash, my understanding is that that's a virtual machine approach where the machine instructions are interpreted at runtime rather than executing JIT code. Have you had any experience in game development and performance between the two platforms?
No, I'll have to be honest with you. I tried to do a game in Flash once and gave up pretty quickly. ActionScript was completely foreign to me, and I my background is in C++, C#, and Visual Basic. And so trying to learn this ActionScript and using it to develop a game just wasn't natural to me. And then using the Flash debugger that comes with the Flash Studio was just very difficult. I was used to a good debugger in Visual Studio, and then having to try to use that was pretty painful. So around that time was when Silverlight came out, and so I dropped Flash pretty quickly at that point.
Yeah, that's what I'm finding. A lot of people are just really enamored with the tool set we have in Silverlight. So I guess you would probably class that as sort of a high point of development in Silverlight. And are there any other sort of high points in Silverlight you'd like to call out?
Yeah, well, going again from the game programming standpoint, just the fact that I could write game libraries that could run both on XNA and on Silverlight is a pretty nice thing.
Oh, so you're actually getting a fair amount of actual code reuse then between XNA and Silverlight.
Yeah, and when it comes to the graphics side of things is very different. And so in order to make something that will run on either, that code is pretty much a one-off for one platform or the other, or you could create a wrapper that would work with both. But the actual calculation side of things, positioning, and also doing game physics can be almost identical between the two. I actually ported a physics library that was originally created for XNA by Jeff Weber called the Farseer Physics Engine. I ported that to Silverlight for Silverlight 1.1, and then we've updated it as we've gone along to be ready for Silverlight 2, Beta 2, and we get really good performance from that. The code base is almost identical between the two.
Well, really interesting. What about some other high points of programming for Silverlight in terms of games?
Well, I really like, you know, the vector graphics support, being able to code to one resolution and then be able to scale to whatever size the window is, and also in order to go full screen. You know, it's very nice to be able to just use a simple scale transform and everything scales to the size you need and you don't have to really worry about it. And also the nicest part is that if you have a mouse-based game, that the mouse positioning is also scaled for you, so you just don't even think twice about having to run at a different scale at full screen or whatever. I mean, that's very nice. Also, the text support in Silverlight is a lot better than what's available in XNA right now, so that's another benefit in Silverlight. And then for creating graphics, using Expression Blend to create the game graphic, you know, makes you a lot more productive.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So what about some low points of programming for Silverlight? Because, you know, it seems like Silverlight, although it could be applicable, it isn't specifically designed for games. I'm wondering what's sort of missing.
Yeah, there's certain things like having a timer that fires every so often, every fraction of a second, so that you can reposition your game sprites and that sort of thing. That's not built into Silverlight.
Well, so I might naively say, well, what about the dispatch timer or even having a storyboard go off at a very short interval?
Right. You can go with the dispatcher timer, but from everything that people have been playing with when it comes to doing it for games, they've found that just doing an empty storyboard that you start again every frame just seems to be a better performance and a smoother way of doing the animations. One issue, though, is that you don't have a very accurate stopwatch for clocks, so you have to rely on the daytime variable, which isn't as high precision as you might like. So timing can be a bit of an issue. It doesn't seem to make a huge impact, but, I mean, that is one thing that would be nice if there was a stopwatch. One other thing that would be very useful would be able to do bitmap manipulations, you know, set pixels on graphics, because some things you just can't do with a vector graphic, or you want to maybe create a graphic once and then reuse it and that sort of thing. So there's some limitations on that side. And also, if you wanted to do something like 3D or whatever, then you'd really need to be able to do some sort of bitmap manipulations or other transforms that aren't available in Silverlight.
Right, yeah. So I'm interested in that idea, too, because 3D is pretty much missing, as I understand it, from all of the browser plugin models. How much of a benefit would that be to you to have 3D support?
For me, I'm not really much of a 3D guy. I'm more of kind of retro 2D type game developer, but there are some cases where it'd be nice for me personally to have some 3D animations, maybe just to do some cool rotations or that sort of thing, or even to make a menu animation that flips in 3D or that sort of thing. There's been some people who have done some very clever things in Silverlight to try to get it to do some 3D stuff, but there are certain things that are lacking for Silverlight 2 that would really be necessary to do some true 3D.
Are we talking about mainly performance issues? What I'm thinking about is we're not able to unload processing to the graphics card right now?
Well, hardware acceleration is definitely part of it, but even without that, there's certain things like you can't give a graphic a perspective or make it look like you're looking at it from a certain angle that it's smaller when it's further away and larger when it's closer on the same object. That's just a transform you just can't do in Silverlight right now. It's called a non-affine transform. Mm. And the other way you could do that is if you just generated the graphics using, like I said, get pixel and set pixel type stuff, which you can't do either. So 3D is kind of lacking at this point. There's really no good solution to do 3D in Silverlight 2.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. In terms of the transforms, though, one thing that I've been telling people, and maybe this has been a bit of a mistake on my part, is that with the matrix transforms, we can basically set up any transform that we want. I guess what I'm asking is, how true is that actually?
Well, you can to a point. The one thing you can't do is you can't have something, like let's say you have a rectangle or a square. You can't do a transform on that that makes one of the parallel sides larger or smaller than the other parallel side.
Mm.
So if you're looking down a hallway and that sort of thing, how a door or the wall would look like it's getting smaller as you're further away. that's something you can't do with 2D transforms. You need 3D transforms or distort transforms for that, and those aren't available.
Ah, fair enough. So just out of curiosity, if the 3D APIs were to come along, and if they were to be based on something like the WPF 3D APIs, any idea if that would be a big help?
Well, definitely. I mean, any time that you could get closer and have some kind of common ground between Silverlight and WPF, and that's the way they've really been going so far, that would definitely be one thing that they could do if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, would that make sense for Silverlight to have that same 3D API? And definitely, I think any time that they can do that and make it work like WPF, it's a good thing.
Now, one thing that I'm interested in is a lot of the Silverlight developers I talk to, they're not especially focused on performance. That is, their applications, you know, the critical sort of gating factor isn't performance. But with you, with games, I have the sense that it often is. So here's the question. When do we need to start to be concerned about performance in Silverlight applications? What are some traps that we can fall into and get ourselves into perf issues?
Well, one definitely that is a big one that I've run into is if you have semi-transparent objects. So if you're doing a partial opacity on a Silverlight element, and then you start moving that around, there are some definite performance issues there. And it's not the fault of the Silverlight team or whatever. It's just that when you're doing that without hardware acceleration, there's just more calculations that need to be done because you need to take what's the current background and then be able to partially show that and blend it with the colors that are in the foreground. So, and that's just going to take a while longer. Some other performance issues are if you have a lot of things moving at once.
Mm.
But when I say a lot of things, I'm saying hundreds of elements on the screen. So for most games or for most applications, you're not going to have probably that many elements in motion at once. But if you do get up into the few hundreds or whatever, there can be some performance issues at that point. The other one is text rendering can take a bit longer. So if you have a lot of text on the screen, especially if it's moving around, then there can be some performance issues with that. But for the most part, I haven't really run into issues with any of the games that I've worked on where I've had to really concern myself with performance.
Well, that's good to hear. I mean, because in the traditional sort of things that I and a lot of other people work on, you know, we haven't hit any performance issues either. So that's nice to know that we have some room there. Now, one thing I was also wondering is, what do you do special for testing when you're testing out games? Do you find, say, the slowest Intel-based Mac that you can and run your games on it, or how do you approach testing?
For the most part, I'm just testing on my development machine. But I have, in the past, especially with the Farseer Physics Engine port, where we had more calculations and a lot of CPU cycles and everything in there. And that one, we actually went and tested it on a Mac. And Macs in general, from what we've seen with Silverlight, do perform a bit slower than the Windows system for the betas that we've seen so far. So we'll test on a Macintosh and not really too much on the slower Windows machines at this point. If we did have a game that took a lot of processing power, then we'd look at it at that point. But at this point, the games seem to run fine.
Great, great. That's ultimately good news for the platform. Bill, thank you so much for being on the Sparkling Client podcast.
Well, thank you for having me, Eric. I appreciate it.